How thankful we are to be able to come to you with a message from the Lord. Not a sermon that I got up, but a message that the Holy Spirit has given me for His glory and for our edification. Thank you so much for your prayers and your attentiveness and for the opportunity that you give me to be a servant of your soul. We ask you to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans, the third chapter. We'll begin reading with verse 23, where our lesson begins. Romans 3:23 is our lesson. Our lesson is titled, Short of the Glory. Short of glory. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those two subjects are put together, dear soul, for us to understand what sin is all about. It shows us, first of all, how exceedingly sinful sin is. And second of all, that we have lost that which we cannot regain. Therefore, there is necessitated the grace of God, the unmerited favor, and it's a sovereign grace. Churches don't have it. Pastors can't give it. The Bible can't provide it. It's absolutely 100% given by God, or it's not received. So we have lost something in sin that we cannot get back. What is that? Coming short of the glory. We have got to regain the glory. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That says it right there. We have to be justified, which is a resurrection. We'll see more on that later. By the free grace of God, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness, God's righteousness, for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. Folks, you're going to have to recover God's righteousness, not the religious morality. You can be moral and not be righteous, but you can't be righteous without being moral. Righteousness is supplied freely by the grace of God, exclusively, entirely. You can't get it any other way. If God doesn't give it to us, we don't get it. I don't care if you join every church in the county and you're baptized in every pool till every tadpole knows you by your first name. You're still going to hell. I was a lost church member for 7 years. I was baptized. But I went down a dry center and came up a wet center. There was no change except I needed a towel to dry off. I received my tithing envelopes. I was a full-fledged member of that local church. But I was still lost and without God. Why? Because God had not yet given me that which me and the church and baptism and getting the Bible and getting my tithing envelopes could not supply. Listen, for all have sinned, what is sin? And come short of the glory of God. Where are you going to get the glory? It says, being justified freely by His grace. It comes freely by the grace of God. He said, to declare, verse 26, a verse of chapter 3 of Romans, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God's got to remain just, so He can't become compliant with our sin. We can't have God involve Himself in our sin, and He can't just, what am I saying? What is this saying? It's saying He can't just arbitrarily forgive your sin. Sin cannot be forgiven. It has to be paid for. So He did it through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So at this time, he declares his righteousness in order that he might remain just, but also be the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Dear soul, the gospel is an amazing thing. We don't know the gospel in America anymore. The majority of religion in America is a man-made program that gives man sovereignty and puts him on the throne. But dear soul, I want to say it to you again. We do not know that many true Christians. Oh, yes, I know a lot of Christians. I know a lot of people that go to church. I agree with you. You do know a lot of people that go to church. You do know a lot of church members. But dear soul, church membership doesn't mean you're a Christian. Like I said, I was a bona fide church member in every aspect. I was just as much a church member as the preacher was. But I was lost and without God. That's what I'm talking about. You can be involved in religion and not know God. He said to declare at this time his, that is Christ's righteousness, that he might remain just and also be the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Can God be just if he excuses sin? No. Sin cannot be excused. It has to be paid for. So through the wonderful, marvelous mystery of the cross of Jesus Christ, God has been able to remain just in that he didn't just excuse sin. It would make him complacent and compliant with a sinner. And he can't do that. Excuse me a minute. How does God remain just and forgive you? How does God remain just and also justify you? It can only be done through the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ gave his blood, and the life is in the blood, Leviticus 17. Excuse me. The life is in the blood. So the blood that Jesus of Nazareth shed was the life of God. Therefore, his life given for us kept God as just. He can't just get up one day and say, oh my, what a wonderful feeling, what a wonderful day. There's a bluebird on my shoulder. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. And say, y'all excused. He can't do that. How does God remain just and forgive you of your sins without becoming an accomplice in your rebellion? The blood of the Lamb of God, the free and sovereign grace of God Almighty. God gave his Son, for God so loved the orderly arrangement, the world, that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. That's how he remains just in forgiving you your sin. That whosoever believeth into him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God the Father looks at God the Son and sees that he, like the priest looking at the sheep that the sinner brings to the door of the temple, he sees him perfect in every way. And he looks upon him and he says he is complete and perfect in every way. He is a righteous sacrifice. So his blood being shed is the blood of God, is the life of God. And therefore the life of God was given by the Son and it satisfied the Father. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The greatest word in your Bible, God is satisfied. So he remains just. I didn't enter into their guilt. I didn't excuse sin. It was paid for. The wages of sin is death. Sin has to be paid for. So God paid for it through the blood of his Son. So he remains just. And now he can also be the justifier of them that believe. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Have you ever thought about that? Listen, he says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, this is Romans 3:26, that he might be just and, added, he might be the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And verse 27 says, this takes care of it. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 29, come on, pages, turn. 1 Corinthians 1:29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. So God has chosen the foolish things, the base things, the things which are not, and given to them that which is a glorious gift of God, and that's the free grace of God. They have received a gift, but they're the foolish things, the base things, the weak things, and the wicked things. And so they can't boast. Where then is boasted, Paul said in Romans chapter 3, in verse 27. Where is boasting then? Can you say, look what I did. I stuck in my thumb and pulled out a plum and said, oh, what a good boy am I. No, no. You bow on your face before Almighty God and said, all I brought to this situation, the only thing I brought to this condition was my wretched, God-hating, rebellious sin. And what did my sin do? It lost me the glory. I came short of the glory. The words come short in Romans 3:23 is the same words translated in Hebrews 11:37, being destitute. For all have sinned and become destitute of the glory of God. You go to the refrigerator and say, well, can't fix breakfast. We don't have any eggs. What are you going to do? Well, we're destitute of eggs. Got to go to the store and get some. Dear friend, you come before Almighty God and God said, where's the glory? You say, I don't have any glory. You're what? You're destitute of glory. You've come short of the glory. But you don't have a store on earth that you can go to and try to obtain some. I tried to obtain God's favor by what Isaiah calls filthy rag righteousness. He said our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So here I am offering God filthy rag righteousness and saying, well, I get to go to heaven now. Baptize me. They did. Give me a New Testament. They did. Give me some tithing envelopes. I didn't really ask for them, but they did. But what am I now? I'm just a hypocrite. I have deceived myself and deceived the church. And dear soul, it's going to be bad for me if I remain in that condition. And we hear Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 7, the book of Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. When do people say, Lord, Lord? When they testify in church, when they pray in church, when they do something religious, when they sing their songs. Lord, Lord. He said, not everybody that has that word on their lips is going to have redemptive grace in their hearts. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's doing the will of God's of God in heaven, our Father, the Father in heaven, that will help you to enter in, cause you to enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, you got that? It's a broad road. It's a wide gate. And I was one that was traveling on it for 7 years. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me from my own self-righteousness and from the Bible Belt religion that most of the South, the religionists in the South are involved in now and don't know that they're on the way to hell. They think they're on the way to heaven. Why? Because we don't realize one thing. Sin is being destitute of glory. Well, open the refrigerator. Don't have any eggs. What are you going to do? Go to the store and buy some. Why? We're destitute of eggs. We don't have it. Well, dear soul, open your heart. Look in there. What do you see? I'm destitute of glory. Where are you going to get any? Well, I tried it in the baptism pool. Didn't work. I tried it in church membership. Didn't work. I tried offering God filthy rag righteousness. What is that? Religious morality. Trying to keep the Ten Commandments. God wouldn't have it. Why? Because I was still short of the one thing that we lost when we fell in Adam. Glory, the glory of God. Listen, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wait a minute, wait a minute. What is, just stop and think a minute. What is it that God's talking about is a work of iniquity in this case? It is a confessing Christ with your mouth, Lord, Lord. It is a preaching of a false gospel. We've prophesied in thy name, cast out devils. We've helped people get peace and overcome problems and get them settled down. And we've sent them to counselors and got them marriage counseling and put their marriages back together. Done all kinds of things. But Jesus is going to look at them and say, all that time you thought you were doing great, that was a work of iniquity and I never knew you. Friend, this is serious. This is serious. All have sinned. Nobody is without this. Everybody is a sinner. But what is sin? Well, sinner is just a sick person and just needs a religious tonic. Wrong. Well, the sinner is just a naked person and we just need to take him to the welfare closet at the church and let him pick out some clothes he wants. Wrong. The sinner is dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened. He's talking to Christians. God hath quickened, that is, made you alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the condition of the sinner. He's not sleepy and needs to be awakened. He's not hungry and needs to be fed. He's not naked and needs to be clothed. He's not sick and needs a tonic. He is dead to God. Let me ask you something. What did God tell Adam and Eve would happen to them if they ate of that forbidden fruit? He said, and I quote, in the day that thou eatest thereof, and the Hebrew reads, in dying thou shalt die. King James reads, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, my question is this. How did they walk out of that garden if they were dead? The fact is, you only got two possibilities. Number one, they either walked out of that garden as dead people, Or number two, and I hate to say this, but God's a liar. That's the only two possibilities you got. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It wasn't the fruit. It was disobedience regarding the fruit. Mama hears the lid on the cookie jar rattling, and she goes in there, and little Johnny has crawled up on the cabinet and stuck his hand in the cookie jar, and his mama's already told him, don't get in those cookies. I know they're your favorite. I baked them for you, but it's now time for supper, and I don't want you ruining your supper. Don't eat those cookies. If he eats the cookies, he's going to get punished. Should get punished. Probably don't happen anymore, but it used to when we had some common sense and we knew what that fatty tissue was for at the bottom of their spine. My grandmama used to say, I'm going to give you the good hot spanks. And boy, did she ever. And it kept my hand out of the cookie jar. But dear soul, it wasn't the cookie. He can eat the cookies later, and his mama will give him a glass of milk and say, here's some milk and cookies for you. Nothing wrong with the cookies. Wasn't anything wrong with the fruit. And dear soul, we don't know what that fruit was. We always present it as an apple, but it was probably something like a pomegranate or something like that. But anyhow, that doesn't matter. But it wasn't the fruit. There was nothing wrong with the fruit. God saw that he had made everything and he blessed it. But it was disobedience to God. What is sin? Disobeying God and coming short of the glory, becoming destitute of the glory. That's what it says. So Jesus is going to look at those who say, I'm just going to go on without the glory. Well, you know, we built this great building and stuck a steeple on top, and we hired this guy that's got good credentials. He went to Bible college. We're going to put him up there. He's going to marry our daughters and bury our grandparents. And then he's going to preach us some Bible, and we're going to all say, amen, brother. And we're all going to be happy. But when it comes to the end of the road, because you have chosen to go the easy way, and by the way, Americans seem to want a convenient God. That's what's happening. They want a convenient God. And when they come to the end of the road, they're going to find out that one thing thou lackest. One thing. Just one thing. I know you gave to the poor. I know that you went over and cut the widow's grass. And I know you visited the sick in the hospital and all that sort of stuff. And I know you collected your neighbor's mail while they're on vacation, and you took care of their dog and fed their goldfish and watered their plants. But dear soul, you still lack one thing. You are destitute of the glory of God. God said, you're not getting back in without the glory. Where do you get glory? We're in a mess. That's the question that we need to be asking. Look at Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans chapter 5. Listen. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. You're justified by faith. And faith is a gift of God. You don't have some embers of righteousness within you that just need to be fanned and it flames up into righteousness. No, you're dead in trespasses and sins. That's what we read in Ephesians 2. So Adam and Eve walked out of that garden as dead people. But how were they dead? They were dead in trespasses and sins. Eve was still a very lovely woman. Adam was still a perfect specimen of humanity. And dear soul, the thing that they lacked was the outgoing glory of Almighty God had left them. How do you know? Because up to that point, they didn't know they were naked. The outgoing glory of God had covered them in such a way that they didn't know they were naked. They didn't have clothes like these. They didn't go to the clothing store and buy clothing. So they didn't have any clothing, but they wasn't naked. Why? They were covered with the outgoing glory of our Almighty God. What happened when they sinned? I read it to you. For all have sinned, and what happened? And become destitute of the glory of God. God asked him the question, how did you know you were naked? Who told you that you were naked? You've always been without clothing, but you wasn't naked. There was no parts of your physical body showing at all because I covered you in glory. But now you went and got the most rotten leaves that can be found, the fig leaves, and sewed them together to try to hide your nakedness. That's what the American church is still doing, is handing out fig leaf suits to naked people. We're handing out fig leaves and to people who are naked because they don't have any glory. You're never going to be clothed before Almighty God till you're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have to come back and get the glory. Romans 5 and verse 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. By whom also we have entrance or access by faith into this grace wherein you stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Yay! You want to hear that again? How do we get the glory back? Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You have the peace of God when you have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access we have introduction by faith into the grace wherein we stand. Now, when you have access to God by faith into the grace, then you have that which you stand in need of, and you rejoice in the hope of the glory of Almighty God. Isn't God good? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 12. That ye should walk worthy of God, listen, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. How did I get the glory back? I didn't know I'd lost it. I thought I was all right with God because I was all right with those Baptists. I was all right with the baptism pool. I was all right with everything I was supposed to do. I was trying to be a good moral person, but that was filthy rag righteousness. How did I get the glory back? God brought me to himself by grace through faith in the hope of the glory of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. God called you unto his kingdom and glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14. Let me read verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Watch it now. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I can go to the grocery store and get the eggs that we were destitute of when I opened the refrigerator door and when I saw we ain't going to have breakfast this morning. We ain't got no eggs. We either got to go to the Waffle House or we got to go to the grocery store. But dear soul, when God opens up your heart and shows you you're destitute of glory, where are you going to go? The glory comes by God calling you by grace, by grace through faith to the obtaining of the glory. God called you into his kingdom and glory. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, dear soul, how do you get the glory back? The book of Zechariah, chapter 6. Zechariah, chapter 6, and verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man. Talking about the man Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Behold the man whose name is the Branch, all capital letters, talking about deity, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. John chapter 2, tear down this temple, and I will build it up again in 3 days. But this spake he concerning his body, John 2, 19 and 20. Verse 13, Zechariah 6, 13. Even he, the branch, speaking of Christ, shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. If you want eggs, you got to go to the chicken. If you want milk, you got to go to the cow. If you want to get the glory back, you got to go to God. There is no other source. There is no other opportunity. There is no other way you're ever going to get the glory back except you deal with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. He's king. He shall be a priest upon his throne, a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both, the Messiah and the Father. Look at John 1:14. The book of John, chapter 1, and verse number 14. To get to that, we must understand John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, how can somebody be God and then be with God, because I and the Father are one? So Jesus Christ is eternally God. All right. So he is the Word. Now look at verse 14, John 1, 14. And the Word, still capital W, talking about deity. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for of such as the Father seeketh to worship him. Where are you going to get the grace and truth? Jesus Christ. Where are you going to get the glory? Jesus Christ. Who is the only one that has the essence of God's glory upon himself and also to provide to those who come to him by grace through faith? Jesus Christ. He says, you're going to have to deal with Jesus Christ if you want the glory back. It's the way that it is. Then in John 16, verses 7 through 9, you've got to deal with Christ. You say, but he's not here anymore. Well, he is in the spirit. I'll send you another comforter. So the only way you can get the glory back is dealing through Christ in his redemptive work and the Holy Spirit who makes application of that redemptive work. John 16 and verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. If the humanity of Jesus Christ was to have stayed on earth, you and I would not have the possibility of being born again. He went away to send the Spirit. Now, verse 8 of John 16. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. God reproved and convicted me of sin. Verse number 9, what is sin? Of sin because they believe not on me. I believed in the preacher. I believed in the church. I believed in the baptism waters. I believed in morality, but I didn't believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit had come and convinced or convict me of sin. Drop on down in verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. Have you ever thought about that? The Holy Spirit listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, listening to God the Father. And whatsoever the Holy Spirit shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you the new church age. Now listen at verse 14. This is Jesus Christ talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're asking the question, how are we going to get the glory back? We've already looked at John 1:14 and said Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth, and we beheld his glory. Now we're looking at the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ is talking about the Spirit showing you shall not speak of himself, but he shall guide you into all truth. Verse 14 of John chapter 16, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus Christ brought the glory back, John 1:14. But we see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. I go to Christ. Well, he's not on the earth anymore. Where do I go? The Holy Spirit is on the earth now. He continues to be on the earth. And he shall take of Christ's, all that Christ has, and show it unto you. In doing so, he shall glorify me. Dear soul, one day I ran into the Holy Spirit. Far as I was concerned, it was quite by accident. I wasn't looking for him when he found me. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And he brought me life and quickened me. And somebody said, well, I prayed and therefore I was saved. No, listen, you didn't pray till after you were saved. I told you the condition of the sinner was he was dead in trespasses and sins, and a dead man can't do nothing but stink. Lord, don't take the stone away. By this time he stinketh. And dear soul, our filthy rag righteousness was a stench in the nostrils of a holy God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and God smelled a sweet, savory aroma. And he said, I'll never destroy them again. What's that, Genesis chapter 8? Somewhere about after Noah had a sacrifice, after the flood waters receded. And dear soul, the stench in God's nostrils that I brought because my filthy rag righteousness, it was abated and replaced by a sweet, savory smell of the righteous aroma of Jesus Christ. Standing in my place, speaking to God on my behalf, being to God that sweet aroma of glory that I did not have, God recovered the glory for me by sheer and sovereign grace. By free and sovereign grace, By grace through faith are you saved, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should glory. How do we get the glory back? No flesh shall glory in my presence. A religionist, doing everything religionists are supposed to do, being faithful to churchianity. But dear soul, being involved in that organization doesn't mean that you have anything to do with the body of Christ organism. The church is a living organism, not a religious organization. You can join the church, but you have to be born into the organism of the church, the body of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual thing. So, Lord, we've done many wonderful works. We preached in thy name, cast out devils, passed out clothing, helped people have something to eat. We've been good to folks. We're good. But I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why? You were destitute of the only thing God will accept for you to stand in the presence of his eternality, and that is the glory of Almighty God. It has to be by the glory of Almighty God. You can only have the glory by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse number 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, in order that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. The worldly church is standing at the foot of the cross and saying, if you be the Christ, come down. The worldly church is saying, what are you doing going through all those heartaches and trials and tribulations? Get down off that cross. But the Lord Jesus Christ has given us his word that if we be partakers of his sufferings, we shall be partakers of his glory as well. And then we shall have exceeding joy. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Again, he says, if I am a partaker of the sufferings of Christ, I shall be a partaker of the glory. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He has called us by his eternal glory. Look with me to Romans chapter 2. I'm trying to hurry along because our time is gone. And we're just going to bring, God willing, this one message today. The book of Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse number 6. I'm in the wrong place. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. God will render to every man according to his deeds. Listen. To the man who by patient continuance in well-doing seeks for glory and honor and immortality, God will grant eternal life. Did you get that? Romans 2, 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. Verse 10, Romans 2. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Only glory can sustain eternality. You say, God chose me, but dear soul, you can't be sustained in eternality yet. God called me by his grace, good. And them he called, he also justified, good. But you ain't there yet. And whom he justified, them he also sanctified, great. You're progressing on. And them that he sanctified, he also glorified. The last provision that God has for the repentant elect sinner is glory. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know what eternity is like. We put a man's body in the ground this past Wednesday, and I don't know what he looks like right now. He left his body. I saw it. It was in the casket. Every part that was born of his mother was laying there in that casket. But we know that he's in the presence of God. What was in the presence of God? The spiritual man. What does that look like? I don't know. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But there's one thing we do know. That's what we don't know. Here's what we do know. 1 John 3:2. But we do know that when Jesus Christ shall attain physical appearance back here on this earth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then we shall be glorified, dear soul, and it will take that glory to sustain our eternality. For God to be all in all, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be all in all throughout all eternity, it has to return God's elect people that he has chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. Bringing them into glory with Christ Jesus, we shall be like him. And then glory shall break upon us all, and we shall all be eternal as God all in all. Thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. If you want to hear more of these messages, go to gbcga.com. GBC, Grace Baptist Church, GA, of Georgia.com. Or go to sermonaudio.com and listen to it there. But we thank the Lord for the privilege that we have of bringing you these videos on YouTube. Brother Bobby, you come now and bring us a message in song. God bless you. Pray for Brother Bobby as he comes. precious, Brother Bobby. Thank you, my brother.
Thank the Lord for his mercy and allow us to do that.
Amen.
And I shall honor you with glory, brother. Thank you.
Amen.